This is the Perfectly Mentored Podcast with your host, Jason Portnoy.
We are live. It says you are live. And it says we're live on Facebook and LinkedIn. So it looks like we fixed the problem. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Ask Jason show. I just had to move us around. That's, you know, a little bit OCD of how I like it. I'm joined by Megan. Megan, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. This is the Ask Jason show where I am Jason and you get to ask me questions. And hopefully I provide you with enough value and answers that you go about your day and you go crush it in life and in business. And if you're in e-commerce, I highly recommend you pick up my book, best-selling book, House of Bricks. It's really a manual on how to build a well-built, anti-fragile e-commerce business that stands the test of time, that doesn't get broken or torn down because of a platform change or whatever it is. This is the book. I think it's really good. The reviews say it's really good. Yeah. Bestseller status says it's pretty good. So maybe you should listen. you know, it's only been like 10 years plus in this game and, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars for our clients in revenue. So I think we know what we're talking about. So we put this out there and hope you enjoy. But that's enough of the plug. You get that on Amazon. Enough of the plug. Megan doesn't like when we plug things on the show.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we need to make money. So, no, I'm just kidding. Buy the book. It's 99 cents. Trust me, we're not making any money off you. 99 cents. Go get it. Go hopefully change your life. That's what our mission is at Amplify. So, enough of a rant. Let's get on to helping people, Megan. Let's go. Do we have some questions?
We do. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay. This first one is from Brent. I have an e-com clothing brand and we are looking to get our brand into some local businesses. What's the best way to go about doing this? Should I start emailing stores, calling them, or just show up with our product?
Everything and anything. When you're just getting started, you gotta throw a lot of stuff at the wall. So, I mean, I'd walk into stores near you. I remember when I started a clothing brand, anytime I'd travel or anytime I'd go anywhere and there would be a store that I was interested in, I'd go in, and if the buyer wasn't there, I'd get a card. I'd find out who the buyer was, who can I talk to, what's the email address. Even as small as, like, I remember driving from Montreal to New York one time, and we stopped at a rest stop, like a rest area, mm-hmm. and there was like this boutique inside that rest area, and I'm like, this would be a great place. I can make stuff specifically for them. Let me see who does all that, and you get the contact names and go. So it's really everything. Go knock on doors, go email, go cold call, go send your stuff to people. It's anything you need to do in order to get a fair shake. Mm-hmm. I think most business owners are lazy. I didn't have the tools that we have now, so I don't know if I... Here's the thing. I could say that most business owners are lazy right now, but I don't know if I would have been as active as I was if I had all the tools available to me now back then, right? Would I have just been like, all right, cool, let me set up this automated email sequence and let me reach out to them and just keep it on autopilot? Or would I have still, you know, brought shirts in the trunk of my car, stood outside sports arenas trying to sell my shirts, trying to get into local press, trying to go after stores? Would I have done all that? Would I have been as hungry or as outside the box from a marketing and sales strategy as I was then? It's a good question. So I like to say business owners are lazy right now, but I think it's the tools that have made us lazy. So I'm a big fan of old school methods that still work. Direct mail, sending something in the mail. You know, those things just don't go out of style. And the more people don't do that, right? So the more people move away from traditional things, mm-hmm. the more you want to move towards that because you stand mm-hmm. out more.
Yeah.
So in the marketing world, when everyone goes left,
you go right.
It's usually a better idea to go right than to follow the herd.
Okay. All right. We are looking to add a coupon to our site. Do you think 5% off is a good offer, or should it be more? The average price of our product is $40. And this is from Amanda.
5% is definitely too low.
Yeah.
5% is a weird number. Like most businesses start at like 10%.
Mm-hmm.
But I get it. You know, it eats at your margin at a $40 product. You're giving away $4 off of that. Like it eats away versus if you're a higher priced product and you have more margin, you have more wiggle room. So there's other ways to do it, right? You could play around with instead of a promo code, maybe it's a buy one, get one at 25% off type of offer. Even the discounted codes, you have to think about what that looks like. So when you say, like, let's role play this, Megan. If I said $3 off a $30 product or 10% off a $30 product, what sounds better?
Probably 10%.
There you go. Right? Yeah, because you're like $3. I don't care about $3, but 10%. But yeah. Now let's say I said 10% off a $400 product or 40 bucks off a $400, or let's say, sorry, $4,000 product. I say 10% off of $4,000 or save $400.
Save $400.
See, but it's the same thing. It just depends on what's more of an attraction to the audience, and that's marketing, right? So I just gave you a really cool insight into psychology of marketing. Same thing. 10% off and $400. 10% off and $3. Same thing, but what sounds better? So less about the amount of the discount and what sounds better to your potential audience is a cool way to look at it.
Yeah, the 5% off, I've seen that a few times on websites, and it always, like, that's weird. It makes me think, am I even going to get the product in the mail?
It's funny. I've never really seen it. The first time I ever saw someone only offer 5% was one of our clients that we fired. So, we didn't fire him because he had 5% off. We fired him for a whole lot of other reasons, but yeah, like that 5% off, not a good offer.
Yeah. I've only seen it a couple of times, but it's always like, seems like a borderline shady website. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
will I get what I pay for?
Give me your email address and everything and I'll give you 5%. I don't want your
5%.
Yeah. I'll keep my information. You keep your,
you keep your
$2. $1.50. Yeah.
Okay. This question is from Cody. It seems that my brand's marketing emails are mostly going to spam and are not even being seen by our potential customers. Is there a way around this?
I mean, this is a very technical question. So there's a lot of reasons behind it. One is, have you done everything you needed? You know, right now we have Google and Yahoo, Gmail and Yahoo just had changes that happened where you have to make sure that you updated your sender settings. So are you doing that? Do you have your DMARC, DKIM, SPF records, your BIMI records all set up? You know, that's email deliverability. I actually have a free video on YouTube on exactly like a lot of the stuff you should look for. Just go to my channel. I think it's youtube.com/JasonPortnoy and just go there and you know, you can search for email hacks or email deliverability, something like that. And you'll find it. And I go over it. That's a very technical question. But usually for the most part, it has to do with that. It has to do with that you don't have your email deliverability settings set properly. And the next thing is, you know, one of the things you could do is when people sign up to your newsletter, one of your welcome emails should be like, okay, cool. Well, look, here's how you make sure that we don't end up in the spam box, drag us to your inbox. You know, especially now when people end up in sponsored side or promotions tab, you could drag them into inbox and make sure that they stay in inbox for whenever they come in. But yeah, another way is, you know, one of their first emails, make them reply to you. Cause then that starts the process, but it all means nothing if you don't have your deliverability set up properly.
Okay. Okay. What is the main purpose of a podcast? My business partner thinks we should start one, but I don't really see a benefit or purpose of it. For reference, we're an online service-based business, and our clientele are nationwide. This is from Everett.
Hey, Jason here. I hate to interrupt this episode. You're probably enjoying it so much right now, and thank you for paying attention to it and tuning into this episode. Look, the truth is, I really need a favor from you. We really want to keep getting this in the hands of more and more people. So if you could do me a favor and head on over and leave a 5-star review, leave us a review, leave us some comments, share it with friends, spread the love. It would mean the world to me. As well, continue the conversation with me on Instagram at Jason Portnoy. Follow along there. Look forward to seeing you there. Thank you so much. Now let's get back to the episode.
Point of a podcast is just another marketing channel for you. That's it. I mean, if you don't see the point of it, don't do it. I'm not here to convince people that podcasts are the right way to do things. It's a very slow mover. It's a very slow, slow mover. You don't start a podcast and all of a sudden you're going to have people, you know, lining up to buy your products or use your services or, you know, visit your website. Because here's the thing. When you have a business and you want to create leads, let's say, you need a website, then you need to drive traffic to that site in order to get the leads. People think, okay, well, I'm just going to start a podcast to get leads. Well, you have the same problem. You need people listening to your podcast. So you need to drive then traffic to people listening to the podcast. So it's just another place for you to need to drive the traffic to. Mm-hmm. Now, that's fine. But if you're like, hey, my time's limited, then drive them to some sort of landing page. Don't drive them to a podcast. Because one is, you're driving them towards a podcast. So that takes away from driving them to your site. So you're like, don't buy from me now. Instead, listen to this first and then decide to buy from me. So you're actually putting a layer involved before they could actually give you their credit card information. Number two is running a podcast isn't easy. It's easy to get started, but most podcasts fail by like the 9th or 10th episode, something like that. Like very few get to like episode 20. Let alone the hundreds and let alone, you know, subscribers or people listening to it every single week. So it's consistent and it's another layer of work. So if you're like, I'm completely swamped already from a marketing standpoint, then yeah, don't start a podcast because it's going to require extra work. Me doing this Q&A show is extra work. I could be writing a VSL right now. I could be writing more marketing material. I could be working on the memo that Megan bothers me for that we send out, the digest or memo or digest, whatever it is that I get bothered for. And as she's taking notes right now, bother Jason for a memo. Yes, I know. I could be doing that right now, but we schedule this in. So this cuts away at something else. So, you know, if I had to do the podcast all over again, I'd find ways to make it like a joint venture. So if for the agency, I was going to start a podcast, I would just pick my dream 100 list of people I want to work with. And instead of emailing them being like, hey, who runs your ads? We want to run your ads. I'd be like, hey, can I interview you on my podcast? Love to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Get them on, develop a relationship, tell them a little bit about what I do. Then I start the relationship. Then it's not a cold email. It's a warm email. It's not a cold shock and awe box. It's a warm shock and awe box, right? Like, and then you stay remembered. And then what you do is you cut up all the material and you send it to them. And now they have marketing material for themselves. So that's the way I would do it. And then market. And it's just an easier way to market, because if you don't want to create content, a podcast, like we've been doing this for 13 minutes and 48, 49, 50, 51. I can do that, but sorry. we've been doing it for 13 minutes and 55 seconds right now. We got some good clips in there that could get broken down into a 60-second clip or like a 30-second reel, and we're done, and we created content. So that's the point of a podcast as well, because you get content out of there that gets broken down. So it's a long-form content that could go up on different channels, plus you get broken down into a blog, you get broken down into little snippets, it gets broken down into articles, you get broken down into carousels or image posts or a quote post, and you have a lot of different content from it. So that's the point of a podcast.
Yeah. Okay. All right. My question of the week What's the most important step in creating a marketing strategy?
Knowing what you want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Step one. You can't do anything until you know what you want. So marketing strategy, let's get you more customers. I don't want more customers. I want to retain the customers I already have. Cool. Let's retain more customers. I don't want to do that. I want to acquire more customers, right? Like no matter what way you do it, no matter what strategy you want to put forward, it means nothing if you don't have a direction of where you want to go. So the number one step that most people skip is figuring out what they want. And most business owners don't really know what they want. And that's why they struggle. That's why they can't grow, because they haven't locked down their goals yet. So knowing what you want is the first spot for it, and then reverse engineering from there. So I want to hit, so the first step is knowing what you want. So I want to hit 20 million in sales next year. Why? So we could do this, and this gets broken down this way. Cool. Why do you want it? Cool. What are we willing to give up to get to that? Because you're going to have to sacrifice some stuff. Okay, cool. I'm willing to do all this. Here's my non-negotiables. Here's how I break it. Cool. Now you reverse engineer. Mm-hmm. What do I have to do to hit 20 million? Well, you could have one customer, one client that pays you 20 million, and you hit it. You could have two customers that pay you 10 million. You could have, 10 customers that pay you 2 million, right? And this sounds like so basic, but nobody does the math. So they're like, oh, I need 40,000 customers at, this and this. Just use constraint theory. If I have to do 20 million in the next 2 years and I can't do this, how do I build it? And you start coming up with different ways on how to do it. I think that's one of the best benefits of constraint theory. Because when you just sit there and you're like, hey, look, how do I get to 20 million? Your brain starts going through all the inside the box ways. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know the answer to this because I've gone to 1 million. I've gone to 500,000. I just double my effort. I triple my effort. I do this. I do that. But when you use constraint theory, your brain has to start thinking outside the box because you remove all those typical answers. So number one step is figuring out what you want.
Okay. All right. That looks like that's all our questions.
Awesome. Cool. Head on over to jportnoy.com if you want to work with us or you want to learn more. See you next week. Go to Amazon, House of Bricks, available for sale. Very expensive. Very, very, very expensive book. It's only 99 cents. Buy one, buy 10, buy 100, buy one for everyone on your block, buy one for everyone in your apartment complex, everyone in your office. Do it. And then let me know how it is. And if it sucks, I guess call Amazon and return it. I don't know. deal with Amazon, not me, but it doesn't suck. So, that's it. Megan, anything else or are we good?
I think we're good.
Happy Monday.
All right. Bye.
Hey everyone, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed that episode. Thank you for your attention. And if you made it this far, you're clearly somebody who wants to take their business to the next level. You want to get better. And I understand that being an entrepreneur sometimes can feel like a little bit of a lonely journey, which is why being part of a thriving community of like-minded people is just so important. It was super helpful in my own development as well. And as is the ability to instantly get answers to the questions you may have in order to grow and scale your business. It's for that reason why I launched a consulting coaching program called the Market Domination Method. And guess what? If you're listening to this and you hear this, we're open for applications right now for new members to join. So to request an invitation or to book a free diagnostic call it a game plan call. I'll literally sit with you and demonstrate the value that we could bring to your business on that call. Let's jump on a call. We'll discuss ways you could possibly grow your business. Head on over to jportnoy.com, jportnoy.com. You'll find all the different ways you could work together. It's going to be the best business decision you'll make. So hope to speak soon. Head on over to jportnoy.com, book that free game plan call, and I look forward to talking to you soon.